Thanks. See him packing them in as usual. The development of this talk has been a slow process. Paul had asked me to kind of develop a talk about online education because I'd been doing it for a little while and I had some opinions. So I waited till last night to complete it because I was trying to get an idea as to what you guys might actually want to know. And yesterday there was quite a bit of dichotomy in some of the sessions I sat in on. We were looking at new and innovative ways to get students virtually out into the field. And then in another session you would hear this lament about the lack of field experience of our graduates as they go out and enter the world of soil scientists. So as an online educator, I also feel that the pain of the dichotomy, because I want my students to be good field scientists, but I also know that some people don't have that ability to get out into the field. So I'm a little conflicted. For about the last 10 or 15 years, there has certainly been progression in the development of online education. Soil science has been a little bit slower, especially when it comes to field courses and lab-based courses. A lot of times these courses are offered so that you have to attend an on-site course in the lab to get that experience. I've been doing full online courses for a number of years, and so my goal is to share with you a little bit of, in case you didn't notice, that's not me, that's Will Austin, prepping for the soil judging contest last year. So what am I going to cover? I'm going to give you a little bit of my background so you know what I've got under my belt, and then cover a study that I've reported on previously about the success of online versus on-campus classes, and then a reality check I've had over the last couple of years about online courses and different student demographics, and then wrap it up with some of my musings. So the online experience I've got, I was hired by OSU to be 50-50, so half online, half on-campus. I've switched that to mostly on-campus now. But I have developed courses in wetland ecology, not wetland soils. I've taught and developed an introductory soils lab course that includes a lab-based component as well, and also a restoration ecology that has a field component for the students. I've done a little bit of collaboration with some different colleagues around the area on online lessons. I got asked to develop a standalone soils lab for a USDA Higher Challenge grant for Riverside City College. And right now I'm teaching a hybrid course where I have a live audience in Bend, where I'm at, but I also video at the same time to an audience in Corvallis, and then we do a joint field trip together. So I've got a little bit of experience there. When I was starting to develop these online courses, I heard a lot of comments saying, oh, this is impossible, you can't get students to get these learned soil skills. They have to be with you and look you in the eye and feel that soil. But I also want to think about the objectives that we have with the intro soils course. This is a little different than just a wetland soils course. So an intro soils course, think about the number. I was talking to Marty, he said maybe 175 in an intro soils course. Where I'm at, we're looking at 50. And are all of those students soils majors? No. Most of them are coming in from a natural science background. They're in biology or wildlife or something like that. So we're teaching to a diverse audience. Of those 175 or my 50, maybe 10% of them are going to be the ones that really get it and they really want to be a soil scientist. Of those, you'll maybe get two or three that are going to go on and become a graduate student in soils. So your target audience is really that other 90%, that this may be their only soil course that they're ever going to take. And what do you want them to get out of that? You want them, really, you want them to know it by heart. You want them to know that when you do a loss on ignition test, that that's giving you organic carbon and not organic matter. You want them to know that CEC comes from organic matter and clay content, and that means that you're going to have something to do with nutrient retention. So these are the kind of the basics that we want them to retain. And if you can do that, you're pretty good off. They're not going to remember the real intricate stuff. So can you do that with an online class? Yes, you can. And you don't necessarily have to see them in person. Will it work for all students? Probably not, and I got some pretty good examples of that. So I set out after hearing a lot of the comments that students couldn't learn, and I wanted to evaluate how well students actually succeed. So this is the results of a study that I did a little while back, looking at on-campus and online students. The demographics are up there for you to see. And really, there was a pretest and a post-test that each student took in each of those classes. The pretest was ungraded, and it was basically just to figure out where everybody was starting. The online students did significantly poorer than the on-campus students in the pretest. However, by the end of the class, they were at or above the same level of the on-campus students. They also had a physical requirement for their final test that they had to do. I had sent them soil samples, so they had to give me a texture and fall within my parameters for the soil texturing. And they did actually better than most of the on-campus students did in that. So that's kind of fun, too. So overall, though, the results... missing a slide. Overall, the course grade was pretty much the same. My conclusions from that were that online students, because they started out at a lower knowledge level, they tended to show higher improvement rates. So that was a good thing. The online labs did give them some field skills that they could actually take out, like hand texturing. And then with some careful thought and planning, kind of like the stuff Sabine was showing us, you can actually develop some materials that help online students get those objective ideas that we were talking about. Some of the things that contribute to online success that I found in that study was that there was an older student age, it was a significantly older population. That leads to maturity in your students. There's also a dominance of females online, and that also shows dedication and maturity as opposed to us undedicated and immature males. And then I think there's also a component where when you're doing lab work online, you have to do every single lab yourself, whereas when you are doing it as a group or out in the field with a bunch of other students, you can have a slacker mentality and not necessarily pick it up quite as well. Also, when you're looking at this online class, a lot of those students are self-selecting to take that online class. So you're getting students that are doing well. So I thought I had it nailed. I thought I knew online education really well. So I got asked to do this lab for the Higher Education Challenge Grant, develop a 2-credit online standalone lab for Riverside City College. I put a lot more thought and effort into the construction of the labs, also into the construction of the lab kit that gets mailed out to the students. It's a semester-based thing, so I figured I've got 15 weeks as opposed to my normal 10 weeks, so I can get a lot more material in there and cover it a lot more thoroughly. So that was really great. I offered it the first term, and I got really depressed. And then I offered it the second term, and I got more depressed. And I think I was starting to figure it out by the third term, and I think after looking at the numbers in preparation for this, I think I might have finally figured out what's going on. And we have to look at the demographics of the students. So and the other thing I want you guys to remember is most of us are teaching to, are there any community college instructors here? No? Okay, well, those people make up a large majority of people taking higher education classes out there. And we're all teaching university students. So if we're looking at the OSU online campus or online class, most of those students are environmental or natural resource science majors. Most of them are juniors, seniors, or in some cases super seniors, and a lot of them are taking other online courses. They're paying in-state tuition levels, which it also has a little fee tacked on for OSU eCampus, so they're putting out a lot of money per credit for a 4-credit class, so they're going to be pretty serious about it. The Riverside City College, the standalone lab, but the majority of the students are not natural resources or any kind of outdoor science majors. I have a lot of nursing students. Basically, they're trying to meet their general science requirements for a lab course, and this course had some slots available. A majority of them are working on an AA degree. They're not working for a four-year degree. Many of them are first-time onliners, and they're not enrolled in the lecture component of the class, which also is offered at Riverside. And it's a lot cheaper tuition. And I talked to a couple of Riverside people. California has tended to give out education to their residents, and a lot of people have moms and dads who will pay for them as long as they're enrolled and send them a check. And so they'll enroll for classes, say, look, Mom, I'm in all these classes, and then once they get the check, they'll drop out of class. So compare the intent of the labs for this class. We're trying to get them at those basic levels, understand the environment, do some map reading, figure out how to do some calculations, do some hands-on activities, also including some quantitative analysis. So I got some examples as to what we're doing here. Using a lot of online materials like Google Earth, doing some slope calculations, area calculations, looking at land use change with the photo time series that Google Earth has. They end up creating a crude hydrometer so that they can investigate Stokes' law, which is kind of fun, and look at how settling changes with texture type. They're actually going out and collecting samples, doing bulk density and moisture content calculations. And they also have to do a bioassay where they're growing a plant and they're looking at the relationship of soils and fertilizer additions and how that affects plant growth. At the end, they wrap it up with a rough soil profile description. So it has some quantitative stuff in there. It's pretty important, I think, and I think a lot of you also would agree that they can crunch some numbers. But I had a lot of attrition in the class. So this is looking at the numbers. So at OSU, this is over four terms. If you look, the second column really is the big one. 91% completion rate for the OSU online class. This is the juniors, seniors in a four-year major. And then if you look at the second column for the Riverside class, out of all the students that enroll over those four terms, I still have students dropping this term, we're looking at a 30% completion rate. This is why I was so depressed, because I thought it was me, but I think there's a demographic out there that I didn't quite understand when we're looking at students that were educating in soils. The other thing that's interesting on here is that Riverside has a higher proportion of Fs on the final grades, and that's, I think, because they get halfway through and they stop actually participating in the class, but they don't necessarily withdraw from the class. So this was a reality check for me, and I learned that not all colleges are created equal. Not all students are created equal, and there's basically a failure to communicate when I'm coming from my expectations at the university level and going to the community college level. Something for us to be aware of. But what it did for me is it gave me some ideas as to what might be, if you're thinking about doing online education, including a wetland soils course, a couple things. So be interactive. Your students do know online when you're blowing them off. I have a lot of on-campus students. My campus is very small. We're 700 students, and a lot of them will take online classes to meet their schedule for work and to complete their degree in a timely manner. And when they take a crappy online class, they let me know it, and they also tell each other. So that failure to answer an email by an instructor is a failure to communicate. And even though the instructor may think that that class is an isolated bubble, it actually goes out to the rest of the student body, and they will avoid that class. You do have to be innovative. You have to try new things and show interest in your students beyond just the canned materials that are presented. So yesterday when I was walking back to my hotel, I stopped at the Alamo, and I took a picture of the Alamo wall, and then I did a close-up picture of some of the fossilized shell that you could see in the rocks along there, and I sent that to my online students with a discussion about parent material and mineralogy. So taking advantage of that, I record introductory videos for a lot of the labs. When I go to a different place, I'll try to take a picture and explain it with regards to what they're looking at and relate it to the lab topic that's currently going on. But it's also important to know that too much technology can also bog down the student. And I'll get to that in just a second, because you are dealing with a diverse audience. So I've also found that in an online class, there does seem to be a stupid question. It usually comes from the student that didn't read the instructions. So if you're going to do this and you took the time to prepare the materials and they should be able to walk through it, no problem, and they ask that stupid question, direct them kindly, don't berate them, but direct them kindly back to where they can find the instructions to complete the assignment. Otherwise, each time you're doing it, you're going to get frustrated because you're going to have to do it for each single lesson. Once that student has been walked back to the instructions, they're going to know, oh, I actually have to put a little bit of effort into this class, and so you're not going to have to do it too many more times. So in terms of that diverse student group, it's important to remember, even at the university level, that many of these students are not full-timers. They don't live on campus. Not all of them have access to high-speed internet or a computer with Windows 7. They are moms, dads, soldiers, consultants, government employees, or people that really have no business taking your class because it's hard. They get sick, they have to work two jobs, they have to travel for their job, and these things sometimes become legitimate obstacles to them meeting the deadlines that you've imposed on your class. You can beat them up about it. You can fail them, and what they're going to do is they're going to drop out of your class, and we talk about needing advocates for SOILs, and if you berate them and they drop your class, you've just lost a SOIL advocate. So if you encourage them and nurture them, we're going to have somebody who's a SOIL lover for forever. But if we beat them up and have these expectations that they're going to walk away from everything knowing all that we know, we're going to lose out in the long run. And these are the voters, and they vote for the policymakers, and we're the ones that are supposed to be informing the policymakers. So there is a connection between how we teach those guys. So that's what I think, and I hope that was useful to some of you. Guys, hear the question back there? He was asking about students that either are taking it online or possibly like an evening class where that might be their only class and they can spend a little more time. I'm sure that probably plays a role on it. And like I was an advisor for the online natural resources program for OSU for a number of years, and I started students out and I never saw them finish before I stopped being the advisor because they're taking one class at a time. And they'll carry a 4.0 GPA, but it will take them 9-10 years to complete that degree. So it probably does, but they're the moms and the dads and the soldiers and stuff. Thanks.